So I'm going to be presenting about Play Streets, which are a community-based intervention that turned New York City streets into safe, accessible places for play in neighborhoods that have a deficit of parks and open space. So the Harvest Home Play Streets were a pilot project initiated in summer 2010 by a coalition of partners whom I'm presenting on behalf of today. Maisoon Frege, who is also an author on this, is in the audience right there. So you can ask your questions as well. So no interest to disclose, as you might imagine, providing play space on city streets in Harlem and the Bronx is not exactly lucrative, but I'm very rich in joy. It's a fun thing to be doing. So this morning I am going to start out by telling you a bit more about what play streets are and the context in which they emerged in New York City. And then a lot of this presentation is going to concentrate on describing the process of building a coalition of local partners in order to make these play streets happen. Then I'll review our program evaluation data from summer 2010 and close with a discussion of how play streets can lead to larger scale, safe and complete streets changes. And throughout, I'll do my best to fit in as many pictures of cute, adorable children as possible. By the way, another ingredient for policy success. Use lots of pictures of children. So this is the story of our project. It was a pilot that became a policy victory, merging the worlds of advocacy and evaluation. In this case, the incorporation of play streets into Plan YC 2030, which is the mayor's citywide long-term sustainability plan. So now, as of April 2011, there is a mandate to add 15 new play streets every year as part of the mayor's strategy to address a shortage of open space for children in New York City. So at Transportation Alternatives, we often approach policy change by beginning with successful demonstration projects. Then we build a coalition of partners and supporters, encourage the city and state to then adopt the program. Another example of a program to policy initiative that's been very successful at Transportation Alternatives is the now National Safe Routes to School program, which originated at Transportation Alternatives in the Bronx. And then, as we know, the holy grail in public health research is translating research into policy. So by working in tandem in both of these paradigms, advocacy as well as evaluation, we were able to bring about much needed policy change. So having evaluation data was particularly important in persuading the current Bloomberg administration in New York City, which is really fond of data-driven decision-making. A brief aside, if you're interested in learning more about the culture of data-driven policymaking and interdisciplinary collaboration as it pertains to active design, I'm presenting a poster later today at 2:30 about that as well, if you want to learn more about our local politics and how we collaborate. So for context, a major problem in New York City is that we just don't have enough space for kids or adults, for that matter, to play. Sure, we've got some really terrific parks, you know, Central Park is very famous, and almost all New Yorkers do live within a 10-minute walk of open space, but New York City, it's crowded and it's built up, and our population keeps on growing while the supply of available vacant land is shrinking. So how can we make sure that we have enough space for all city residents, especially children, to get outside and be physically active? And this is really crucial to addressing the epidemic of childhood obesity, which disproportionately affects poor urban neighborhoods where children often have limited access to play space. In New York City, streets and sidewalks are 80% of our public space, so that's where we're turning at Transportation Alternatives and through this coalition in order to increase the supply of open space. Currently, a majority of this street space is obviously devoted to the storage and movement of private vehicles, but especially as driving becomes less and less efficient in a city that is very dense, we can and should reallocate some of this space for playing, for running, walking, biking. You don't have to live in a super dense city, though, to consider having play streets. Play streets can be a way for many types of communities to reclaim streets from cars and transform them into places for people to be active. So what are play streets? They're what they sound like. They are streets where people can play. They complement parks and they address disparities in access to safe open space via the urban front yard, the street. So streets are close to traffic so that you can safely run around without worrying about cars. And what distinguishes play streets from other types of street closures, like say a block party, is that play streets are recurring. They're usually seasonal. So they might happen once a week, several times a week, typically during the summer months. And we found that play streets do best when they have a mix of activities. So in the foreground is a picture of sort of unstructured space for kids to hula hoop and jump rope. And then in the background, kind of way in the back, there's a group of kids with a local organization called New York Roadrunners, who's a great partner who had set up a relay race course. So I want to give you the impression that we invented the idea of play streets. They've been going on for almost 100 years. So the Police Athletic League, or PAL, the New York Police Department's youth engagement arm, began play streets in 1914, partially as a youth crime prevention program in the city's poorest neighborhoods. So the PAL play streets still continue, but the number of them has contracted in recent decades due to funding cuts and the general takeover of the city streets by the automobile. So in order to continue to revive this legacy in New York City of children playing in the streets, our coalition came together to empower community groups to organize their own play streets. So our three key organizers were Transportation Alternatives, the New York City Strategic Alliance, and Harvest Home Farmers Market. We came together in East Harlem and the South Bronx, in particular because these are neighborhoods with a disproportionate and alarming burden of obesity, diabetes, and cardiovascular disease. For a little background, the Strategic Alliance is a CDC-funded center to decrease health disparities in these two neighborhoods. And the Harvest Home Farmers Market operates a network of markets in low-income neighborhoods across the city. And over the summer of 2010, we were able to build a coalition of over 30 local programming partners, daycares, youth centers, who were equally concerned with obesity and the lack of space for kids to play. What's really novel about the Harvest Home play streets is that we made use of existing long-standing street closure permits, which were held by the farmers market operator Harvest Home. The permits are for an entire block, but as you can see in this photo, the market only took up a small portion in the back there, which left a lot of space for us to set up yoga, street soccer, rugby, duck, duck, goose. So basically Harvest Home had a great living room that was going unused, and we brought the party games. So we found that these were synergistic uses of the street. Our program evaluation survey showed that people who already knew about the market would happen upon the play street, and then also that people who came looking for the play street would find out about a market that they didn't know about. So promoting healthy food in addition to physical activity. Due to this mutual benefit, after doing these two pilots in summer 2010, Harvest Home is now running four play streets on their own, the two that we helped them to set up, as well as two others at other market locations. So again, partnerships were just really key in making this a success. We did a lot of outreach ahead of time, but we found that what was really effective was just to go set up on the street and partners would find us. They would be like, wow, this is a cool thing, we want to be involved. So one example was the local precinct, who was a crucial partner in enforcing the ban on parking on the street in order to make these a safe space. So on the slide here, on the right is Officer Murphy of the 23rd Precinct. We started out asking him to come tow the cars that were parking on the street, even though we had put up signs saying that they shouldn't. And he was like, yeah, we'll do that. And they didn't for the first couple of weeks. But then he came, and after a couple of weeks of turning jump ropes, that's how we got our buy-in, and that's how we had a great partner in them. Attendance at the play street started out slowly, but it really grew as we came each week. The East Harlem location in particular had a lot of daycares on the block and youth camps, and so there'd be a lot of childcare workers who would pass by on their way in to work, and they'd ask, what is this that you're setting up? And then, you know, about an hour later, we'd have a gaggle of 30 kids coming over. And so it was just a matter of getting out there, and it just grew very organically. So, how many seasons did we actually get here? We, over the course of 9 Clay Street events, during the summer of 2010, had 1,200 visits by kids, which is impressive, particularly considering that this is a really low-cost intervention. The East Harlem Play Street in particular had attendance of over 100 each day during Play Street hours, which were between 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., so not even the whole day. So as far as the cost, I mean, all we really had to do was, you know, buy some hula hoops and some chalk, and we were able to rally together a lot of volunteer labor in order to organize the activities and supervise the kids. So we had help from the YMCA, from a local community center, organizations that set up running games, food education, karate, and even rugby. Yes, I said rugby. It's a little strange on the street. In the background here, we have Play Rugby USA, which offers free coaching in low-income neighborhoods. It's a surprise to me, but awesome. So many rugby coaches said that the kids at the Play Street were really the highlight of their week, because this is not exactly the demographic that you usually think of playing rugby. So just in continuing with the evaluation data, the New York Academy of Medicine also conducted a street intercept survey. So the respondents were adults and youth over the age of 10, and just overwhelmingly very positive. 64% said that if they weren't at the Play Street, they would have been engaged in a sedentary activity. So this access really does get people moving. 92% said they would tell their friends and neighbors to come. 84% felt that the neighborhood is safer, which is a huge concern in a lot of these lower income communities. And then we're serving a lot of local people. They're within 10 blocks of the Play Street. So Play Streets make it clear that streets are their public space and can get local residents then thinking about reclaiming and re-envisioning the street and moving forward with what we call complete streets. So complete streets are streets that serve the needs of all people by allocating enough space so that users of all ages can safely share the road, including pedestrians, bicyclists, and mass transit users. So if a generation of children grows up associating streets with play, youth and families can help lead a push toward infrastructure investments that support active transportation options and street safety for everyone. So here's a specific example of moving from a play street to hopefully a more permanent intervention. So the 78th Street Play Street in Jackson Heights, Queens, was established by neighborhood associations in 2008, and TA has been working alongside with them. So this was next to Traverse Park, which was literally overflowing with children on the weekends. So this past summer, the Jackson Heights Green Alliance was able to win a 24/7 street closure from July 1st all the way through September 30th, and so this isn't just your typical once-a-week Play Street. This is serious over the summer. And now they're moving toward a proposal to turn this Play Street, which actually sits between the park as well as a school, and just turn it into a permanent year-round car-free plaza. So the expansion of community Play Streets, whether at a farmer's market or through a separate permit, requires further policy change in the form of a streamlined application process and institutionalization within NYC. As I mentioned, we did have the policy victory of its inclusion in Plan NYC 2030, but right now it's kind of an unfunded mandate that doesn't have a lot of process help behind it. So we're continuing to couple advocacy, coalition building, and evaluation research in order to make this happen so that Play Streets can become a sustainable solution for providing safe, accessible, affordable street space for active play in neighborhoods that really need this most. So I encourage you to take a look at our Play Streets resources on the Transportation Alternatives website, which you see there. And this includes a case study of the 2010 Harvest Home Play Streets, as well as our evaluation data. So thank you for being a very attentive audience today, and I'd be glad to take your questions. Questions?
Thanks for sharing this information. I'm curious if you have any data related to traffic volume that was changed or modified in any way. I mean, and how were the streets chosen other than the fact that they were in an appropriate neighborhood? Mm-hmm. But how did you control for not having riots in the streets because you're walking off a major thoroughfare?
Right. So as far as the traffic volumes, that wasn't something that we included in our evaluation data. Part of the process of getting a place street permit generally is that the City Department of Transportation will come in and do a volume analysis to see whether or not it's going to be too disruptive. For these particular place streets, so these were on streets that already had street closure permits each week through the farmers markets, and so the place streets weren't really an additional disruption in the street network. But really we're just adding on to an existing permit. The change was that before only part of the street was being used, so not as many people would have to move their cars off of the street for the day, and no rioting. We had a few people who were a little disgruntled for like the first week, but I mean, the benefit of this being recurring is that after a few weeks, people get the message and they figure it out. We put up signs every week, but it takes a while, and then if all your neighbors want this to happen, it's kind of hard to be, you know, the jerk who won't move your car so that kids can play safely. Other questions?
What was the cost of cleaning up the street, getting glass out or whatever?
You know, New York City has an existing street cleaning program. So, I mean, we just kind of had our volunteers go out and sweep up a little bit about, like, you know, 30 minutes beforehand, but there wasn't really any significant cost because New York City in general does a pretty good job of keeping their streets clean.
Do you have a question? One question about how did you really get the word out about these? I know you said they were part of existing farmers markets, but were there other attempts to communicate other ways to get more people?
Well, we did outreach to daycares as well as to local community centers to let them know that this was going on. So one thing that we didn't know going in but realized as this program grew is that there are a lot of daycares in the neighborhood, but a lot of times they don't have access to play space. So because we had initially thought it would just be a lot of like neighborhood kids coming through who just kind of didn't have anything to do. But even in these structured programs, they often have a lack of structured physical activity. So that was our main way of getting the word out. And then, you know, as I said, just being out on the street and as people pass by, we especially these were both located near areas that have a lot of public housing, so there was just a really large population of people living nearby. So that's one thing to consider in citing them, to put them in areas that have a high concentration of residential population.
One more? Yeah, one more.
I was actually surprised that you have people coming from as far away as 10 blocks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, shows that there's a need.
Yeah.
So is there have there been requests from other neighborhoods for you to come to their settings next year? I mean, is the word spreading and requests being made?
Yeah, definitely. So realize I neglected to mention that this past year there were at least 14 play streets across the city organized by our farmers market partner as well as 10 other groups across the city that got wind of this and wanted to help us with the expansion, and we have even more groups who want to have one next year. So there's a lot of demand for this because it's really a great way to build community as well as create a space that's close to home. You know, I mean, 10 blocks isn't actually that far in New York City. It's like a half mile or so. It's a 10-minute walk. But so there is huge demand, so we see this as something that is really going to expand as long as we can keep helping them out with their expansion. So.
Thank you.